Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I'm going to be talking today for a brief couple minutes on a topic called It's in the Vine. It's in the Vine, and I think we can all agree that right now we're going through some stuff as a nation. And a lot of us are going through a shift right now in our own lives because of the things that we're subject to in our world conditions and our world surroundings. The political arena at the moment, it's an election year, is just absolute chaos, and we're going to build my political party based on bashing somebody else's political party, and I'm going to gain followers because of how bad you are and vice versa. Somebody say amen. It's a mess right now. You turn on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, social media of any outlet, you turn on the news in any outlet, and it's coronavirus this and coronavirus that, and rioting this and rioting that, and protests here and protests there, and defund the police and not defund the police. And I'm not here to argue either side of it. My point that I'm trying to make is we're going through some stuff right now. Doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on, that's not my point this morning. The fact is we're all going through some stuff right now, and every one of us has had to go through a shift. Some of us in this time since January have had a major shift in our jobs. There's a lot of people that lost jobs due to coronavirus. There's a lot of people that had to do some stuff since coronavirus that they didn't think they would have to do, but because of desperation and hunger, there's something about being hungry physically that'll make you real desperate and do stuff that you didn't think you would do in order to get some food on the table. And we could preach right there and just finish and go home, because there's something about hunger that creates desperation. And out of desperation, you'll do something that'll invoke a response from God, because God responds to a response. I look to my youth because I say that literally about 15 times in every youth message that I preach. Do I not, Philip? God responds to a response. And right now there's people that have had to go through a major shift. Maybe as a business owner in your business, back in November of last year, if Tommy came in and had a little bit of a sniffle and a cough, and you know he was having some allergies, you wouldn't think anything of it. And your brother, get back to work, you'll be all right, you're not dying. But right now, as a business owner, there's a little bit more wisdom that goes into place. And your brother, you get up out of here and get out of my business, and you go home and stay home for 14 days until you get the COVID test. I don't want you anywhere near my workers. Right? And we have to right now because we're going through a shift. In order to protect the whole business, you've got to be a little more careful at this point in time. We're going through a shift. We're going through some stuff. Parents, I want to talk to you for just a second. Back in December of last year, everybody was real happy just being a parent, raising their children in the ways of the Lord, bringing up uprighteous and upstanding young individuals that are an asset to society. Somebody say amen. Teaching them in the ways of the Lord, being mom, being dad, rebuking when necessary. Loving at all times. Keeping a roof over their head, putting food on the table. You were real good doing that, and then you find yourself all of a sudden in February, now you're not just raising them in the way of the Lord and putting a roof over their head and food on the table, and now all of a sudden you're the psychology teacher, the math teacher, the English teacher, and the gym teacher, the counselor, and a babysitter. And the babysitter's not for the 5-year-old, the babysitter's for the 15-year-old. Somebody say amen. You're going through a shift. Students, y'all have gone through a major shift. Now all of a sudden, mom and dad aren't just mom and dad. Now all of a sudden, mom and dad are also teacher. Are you with me? Teachers, you've gone through a shift. Before this, all this nonsense that's gone on, you went to school every day and had face-to-face interactions. Now you got to do stuff over Zoom. Right? Ministry leaders, your ministry has been rocked. You know how I know? Because the youth ministry has been rocked. Online youth ministry is rough, y'all. They'll get online for everything else in the world except preaching. I mean, they'll watch the most ridiculous stuff. TikToks and swiping stuff and I'm watching for the laughs because I know who's on TikTok. See what I did there? It's strategic preaching. Well, some of the youth are like, I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to laugh. Are you with me? You went from having U groups in your home and it being personal ministry one-to-one to doing U groups over a video chat. And we'll do whatever we got to do. We'll adapt and move on and we'll press forward and we're not going to quit just because of some virus. So I'm not speaking against what's going on. I'm just trying to make the point that we're going through a shift. Are you with me? There's a shift taking place. And sometimes the shift doesn't always feel real good, but the point I'm trying to get across, and this is where it ties back in, is the answer is in the vine. The answer is in the vine. Doesn't matter what your situation is. Doesn't matter what your circumstance is. It doesn't matter the shift that you're going through at this moment. The answer is in the vine. So that's going to take us to our scripture today. I only have one scripture today, and that's in John 15 and verse 1 through 10. I said all that, I hadn't even opened my laptop yet. John 15 and 1. And it says that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch that is in me does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered. And they gathered them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. See, there's one thing about this portion of scripture that God is saying. It's not just good enough to be around it. God is saying it's not good enough to just be around the word. It's not good enough just to be around my presence. It's not good enough just to be around me. I need you to be in me. I need you to be in my word. I need you to be in my presence. I need you to be fully submerged, fully rooted, fully planted in order for fruit to begin to take place in your life. Amen. I'm going to throw this out there for just a quick second, and then we'll jump into verse 2 and we'll really start getting into this. But it's really, really important, and I have to bring this out because you have to understand that in order for any growth to take place, there has to be a rooting. And you can jump from place to place all you want because you're offended about what's coming off the pulpit, or you're offended because the door greeter didn't smile the way that you wanted her to smile. Or whatever the reason is, we can stay offended and jump from place to place to place. Well, I don't like the youth leader. Well, we'll get into that in just a minute. But understand that if you're not rooted somewhere, there is no growth, period. And if you jump from place to place to place to place to place, understand there's different soils in every garden. And if you're constantly putting yourself in a different soil, you will constantly be confused. So if you're walking around all the time and you've got this big question mark above your head and you never really know what's left and what's right and what's forward and what's backward, maybe we should get planted in one area. And my concern isn't necessarily where, just so long as you're growing. And if you only plant yourself in a place that preaches cherries and peaches and makes you feel nice, you're never going to grow there either. Somebody please say amen. I promise it gets a lot better in about 5 minutes. Just bear with me. But it's important that I have to lay this foundation, because I can't get into the latter part of this message if the beginning part, the foundation, isn't laid correctly. Because if all you're doing is jumping from church to church to church to church and soil from soil to soil to soil, and you never actually get rooted in one place, there will never be a growth. If I go to Home Depot and I buy an orange tree and it's in one of those little plastic containers, little plastic pots, and I pull it from that pot to another pot and to another pot and move it from this place to this place to this place to this place, you know what that plant does its whole life? It spends its whole time and all of its energy just trying to survive. And a true plant that begins to grow only begins to grow once the roots have gone down and it begins to bear fruit after the rooting takes place. But if all it's doing is trying to survive, it'll never bear fruit. It'll stay in that place of, I'm just trying to make it. And the overcomer's legacy says that I'm not only going to get rooted, I'm not only going to overcome the cut, I'm not only going to overcome the prune, I'm going to get past just surviving and I'm going to move to thriving. And if you spend all your time jumping from church to church to church because you don't like the young adult leader or the pastor or the youth pastor, I'll put myself on the chopping block. Because there was a little cutting that took place, and cutting is uncomfortable, which takes us into verse 2. Can we go to verse 2, please? Is everybody okay? I promise it gets really good after this. Is that all right? It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he taketh away. Little King James there. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear fruit. Now understand, one gets cut for the kill, but one gets cut for the increase. One gets cut for the vine, and one gets cut for the branch. One gets cut so that the vine gets bigger and stronger and produces more fruit and more branches, and the other gets cut so that the branch can produce more. One gets cut for the kill, one gets cut for the increase, but both get cut. Are you with me? And pruning is necessary. It doesn't feel good. Pruning only takes place, and growth only takes place when times get tough. Can I explain that for just a hot second, and then I'll jump in back into the Word. When things are going really good, and little Tommy just got on honor roll, and little Susie is like the prime clarinet player in the band, and you know your marriage is going good, and your finances are doing great, you just got a promotion, you're the lead sales director of S&S Incorporated, I don't know, I'm just making up stuff, but just go with me. Hey, you're doing good, things are good, everything's good, you're looking good, you're feeling good, you look good, feel good, play good, everything's going good, you're doing really, really well. You can hide your emotions, you can hide what's going on the inside. See, when things are going really, really good, you can be dying on the inside and everybody thinks you're thriving on the outside because you look good from the outside, although on the inside you're like crying out. Are you with me? But see, there's something about pressure. There's something about when things get a little tough, when it gets a little heat in the kitchen, when it gets a little warm, when there's a little bit of pressure, when there's a little bit of pressing, what's really in you begins to come out. What's really in you begins to get exposed. See, when you go under the fire, when you go under pressure, those things that are in you that you don't necessarily like begin to come out. When you squeeze an orange, you should get. When you squeeze a Christian, you should get. A lot of different answers there. What happened? When you squeeze a Christian, you should get Jesus. But for whatever reason, when things get a little tough and you squeeze a Christian, more often than not, there's a resurrection that takes place. And that old man kicks open the coffin and rises up out of the ground. And we go back to our old habits and our old ways, or rather, let me say this, there's character traits that we never dealt with because we ran from the pruning. I don't like what you just said. There's the door, baby. I'll walk right up out of here. Sorry, let me walk a little slower. I got, the camera people told me in the first service, I gotta slow down. Are you with me? No, Pastor, that I don't like that word. No, you want me to change? You want me to dance? Did you just ask me to dance in service? For real? No, I'm going to another church. Nope. Mm-mm. Oh, you want me to get over my rejection instead of holding on to it? Somebody say the pruning hurts, but it's essential. And see, I don't want to see Christians just surviving. I fully believe in the vision that God has given my pastor. And I want to see this house not survive, but thrive. And that's every person that's connected to this ministry in any way, shape, or form. That when the cutting takes place, I want the people here to be able to endure the cut, because I know it doesn't feel nice when you're going through it, but I promise it's sweet on the other side. And when that fruit begins to be produced in your life, guess what? There's probably going to be another cutting. But it's done with love, because a true vine dresser only wants the best for his branches and will clip and prune and bud as he sees fit to see the best in you come out, to see the most productive you come forth. But it ain't gonna happen if we just quit all the time. Somebody say amen. Okay, that's the hard part. It gets easier from here. Somebody say amen. There's no fruit without relationship. The word says, abide in me and I in you. That speaks of relationship. The word doesn't say, abide in me, dot, dot, dot. It says, abide in me and I in you. That means if me and Mr. Jimmy have a conversation, I speak to Mr. Jimmy. And guess what? There's a point in time where I go quiet and listen to what Mr. Jimmy has to say. Because otherwise, that's a one-sided relationship where it's just me, myself, and I and all my problems, and let me just blah, 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 all the time, and there's never any give and take there. I and me, and there's a relationship. It speaks of a union. Understand that if Billy and Susie Q want to make a Timmy, there has to be a coming together. As far as I know, as far as history presents itself, there is only one individual, there is only one mama that ever was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that on her own she fell pregnant. There has to be a coming together from Billy and Susie Q to make little Timmy. There's got to be some intimacy. Somebody say amen. Understand, orange trees, I have this background. I come from Okeechobee High School, so forgive me. We're not good at anything else out there, but we can grow stuff and we can hunt and do weird things. Amen? I was going to say something else, but every time I say it in a service, somebody gets upset with me. Understand that if you plant an orange tree out in a grove all by itself on thousands of acres and there's no other orange tree anywhere near it and it's all by itself, that orange tree will not bear fruit. It will bud, it will grow, it will look like every other orange tree, and from the outside it would look like a fruit producer. But understand, if it's not around its own kind, it will not bear fruit. It won't, because there's got to be a coming together. There's got to be another orange tree that when they pollinate and they bud, the little bees and the wind will blow the pollen from one tree to another. And when those buds come together, guess what happens? There's fruit. This is exactly what it's like with God. We got to abide in the vine. When we begin to get in line with Him, we get in union with Him, we get in communion with the Father, there's a coming together. There's a relationship. There's an intimacy that takes place, and there's fruit that is produced of that. Do you know that what you lay in bed with is what your fruit will be? Oh, this is the only service I brought this out, but it just, like, I don't know where it just came from, but this is good. What you lay in bed with is what your fruit will be. So if you surround yourself with negative and critical people and offended people and people who are upset about this, that, and the other, guess what kind of fruit you're gonna produce? Somebody say amen. But if you surround yourself around godly people that are going to speak into your life, that are encouragers and a positive voice in your ear, guess what kind of fruit you're going to produce? And I'll take it a step further. If you only surround yourself with God and God alone and get into that secret place and abide in the vine, guess what kind of fruit you're going to produce? Oh, we got to thrive. And maybe, just maybe, we got to do some pruning to get that negativity up out of our life. Because life is too short to be bitter and negative all the time. I'm not saying that you won't have a bad day. It's okay to have a bad day. But if your bad day has turned into the last 10 years of your life, maybe it's the people you're around and you should change your position and do some pruning yourself. Somebody say amen. I hope I'm speaking to somebody. I hope I'm encouraging somebody. It's in the vine. I got a couple people that are really not happy with me right now. I love you. I really do. Because I want to see you become the best you. And the negative you is not the best you. The complacent you is not the best you. Understand that when there's a coming together, you begin to take on the traits of that with which you're with. If Billy and Susie Q make little Timmy, and little Timmy comes bebopping down the aisle because he's full of the Holy Ghost, and he's walking down the aisles, he's ready, and somebody turns to him and says, "Oh, little Timmy, you dance just like your daddy." Worship starts, and he starts singing and praising God, having a good time in the Lord, and somebody reaches up, "Little Timmy, you sing just like your mama. Or you got your nose, you got your daddy's nose. You got your mama's eyes." My greatest desire is that when people see me, they don't see Mike Cornell, but they see Jesus Christ and Him crucified in me, in everything that I do. My biggest prayer for every one of you is that when the world sees you, they don't see you, but they see who you're around. And I would pray that you're so in the vine and so in the Word that when they see you, it's just the Word coming out of you. That when they see you, it's just the Holy Ghost coming out of you. That there's an anointing and that there's a presence that is upon you because of the amount of time that you've spent with Him. We gotta have a passion for His presence. We got a lot of really silly passions right now. Back when we had football, before coronavirus, there'd be some men in their mid-50s and they'd have their chest all painted with some colored paints and they'd be at the football game. "Ah! Go, Tebow!" But you see them in church on Sunday. Listen, if you're expressionless in the world, that's okay to be expressionless in the church. I'm not judging anybody's praise. The only time I start to get concerned is when you praise in the world more than you praise in the church. Because you go to the club on Friday night and woo! And then on Sunday, "Look what the Lord has done," and you standing there. You start looking around like, "Oh, there's something just got a hold of her. I don't know about this, brother." But what happened? Because over the weekend at the wedding, you was breaking it down out there. Are you with me? You go to a Luke Bryan concert, and the whole front of the stage, 16-year-old girls, and he comes by real majestic and just sweeps past them. "Ah, he touched me." But you come to church and the Holy Ghost try to get a hold of you and you lean into it. "I ain't falling down." Am I being real? Why are we more excited about some heathen touching me than God? We got to change our passion. Our passion has to change positions. Understand that you will never finish if you quit. That's a simple context or a simple concept. I understand that, but it's real. And I'm so tired of hearing this. And this is my last one, but it's pointed at the youth. So please give me some grace. Is that okay? I want to make a public service announcement that before I was a youth pastor, I had hair. Lots of it. I even had a ponytail, y'all. Luscious locks of hair. Can I show you what happens? Y'all laughing a little too hard about that. And if I hear this statement one more time, I'm gonna pull the last three hairs that are in the top of my head out. Pastor Mike, I feel. I don't feel like doing this. I feel this. I'm not negating your feelings, but when your feelings proceed and trump what God is saying in your life, that's when I begin to have a problem. Because you switch from going, I feel, to, okay, God, what do you say about this? Young people, I don't want to hear about your feelings. I love you with everything inside of me. Tell God your feelings. Okay, that's not true. If you want to talk to me about your feelings, I'm here. I'm a big softy. But understand that the only person that's going to give you the answer to your feelings, it's in the vine. It's in the vine. So when I ask the question, when you come to me and want to step out of leadership, or you want to jump from this to that, or you decide you want to quit because you feel a certain way, when I ask you the question, have you prayed about it? I had better get the answer yes, and the peace of God is pointing me in this direction. And when He does, I'll say, Lord, bless you. But do not come to me and say, no, I haven't prayed, I've been a big bum, but I feel this way. Of course you feel that way, because your flesh is way the heck up there and your spirit man is way the heck down here. And any time that your flesh is louder than the voice of God in your life, there's only one thing you can do, and that's to get in the vine. Because it's in the vine that you'll get your answer. Don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit on your kids. Don't quit on your own life. Don't quit on your church because of a cutting. Somebody say, embrace the cut. Is everybody okay? We can do absolutely nothing without God. I am the vine and you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That means your talents, that means your gifts, that means your finances, that means your healing, that means your deliverance. Watch this, that means your decisions. You guys can call me religious if you want. I think I have a relationship with God. Do you know that every time I go fishing, there's a buoy that we stop at. It's the last buoy in the inlet. It's the go fast buoy for any fisherman in the house. You know, you got that long idle, and then you hit that buoy that says, okay, blast off, captain. Right before we get to the blast off, captain, everybody who's on my boat, whether you're saved or not, you're subject to some prayer, because I pray right there at that buoy on the way out the inlet, and I say, Holy Ghost, I'm desperate, come with me, even when I'm fishing. I don't want to do anything without him. And listen, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I build a cabinet and hit my thumb with a hammer. You'll understand what I'm saying. Are you with me? I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But my desire is for God to be with me in everything that I'm doing. I want him to be a part of what I'm doing, because if I try to do it alone, I'm a complete failure. I am desperately afraid of public speaking. I am. That's what I mean. If you get me to come up here and try to talk about something other than God, like it's a big old mess. Are you with me? But I want to do it with him, because with him, in my weakness, he is made strong. All right. You'll get through everything. Understand that you can't be fruitful without being faithful. You got to get past the mindset that the branch decides the time and the season for fruit to be produced. It's not the branch's job to decide when the fruit is produced. That's the job of the vine. So I'm hoping to encourage somebody this morning that has maybe been a little bit discouraged about the fact that they feel like they should be producing fruit right now and they're not, and they feel like it's their time and their season. But understand, as the branch, our sole job is to tie in and abide in the vine, and the vine will dictate the time and the season to produce the fruit. And don't get jealous because the branch at the top of the tree started budding and producing fruit before the branch at the bottom of the tree. I'm hoping to encourage somebody, because at the end of the day, you will bear fruit. I declare it, I decree it, as long as you abide in the vine, you will bear fruit. Your season will come, your hour will come, but don't get jealous and don't get offended and don't get hurt because it didn't happen when you wanted it. That's not your job. It's not our job to be God. Let God be God. And let's just be the vine and be. There's got to be a coming together, working with God instead of trying to work God. And we could preach right there. John 15, 7 through 8 says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Oh, I'm so happy about this. This is a real shout me down scripture. And there's in certain circles where they'll preach this, and we'll have every person in here. We'll shout till we don't have no more breath in our lungs. Because whatever I desire, whatever I so shall ask in his name, it shall come forth. We could go to town on that. But can I show you the difference here? Because it's really, really, really important that we get this. Lord God. Oh, I pray, Lord, that I would just have that big old house on the beach with a real long dock that goes way out with boat lifts from the front to the back. Lord, I just bless me with a giant tow vehicle and 37 boats so I can have a different boat for every day of the week for the whole month, Lord. And send me somebody to clean them. And I ask it in Jesus' name. But it's what I desire. And you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Why didn't I see it come to pass? Why didn't I see it come to pass? Oh, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. See, that's the problem, is when you abide in him and he abides in you, your desires begin to change. And your prayer goes from your own selfish pride and what I want and what, watch this now, what I feel, to it's what he wants and what he feels and what he desires. So when you abide in him and his word abides in you, you begin to pray the will of the Father. And when you pray like that, I guarantee you will see it come to pass. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The desire changes. Somebody say, I'm going through a shift. Because the answer is in the vine. And if you're praying prayers that aren't being answered, I want to ask you to check your motive. Because I've counseled young men that are wanting to get married and they pray this prayer. Lord God, send me a woman that's 6'1" and blue eyes and blonde hair. Make her love me. Make her laugh at my jokes. Lord, send her in a black BMW, God. And they pray these prayers and they got a whole list, a whole checklist of what they want their wife to look like. And God is saying, stop praying what you want and pray that I open your eyes to show you what's already sitting in front of you. And I've seen it happen on so many occasions where the young man or the individual starts praying, God, take my heart because mine is wicked above all else, and give me your heart so that I would have a new lens and that I would see things the way that you see them. And then when their eyes go open, it's, oh, she right here. Hey, pretty mama. Are you with me? Everything changes when you look through his eyes, but your desires have to change. Why? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, turn to your neighbor and tell him it's in the vine. It's in the vine. Some of you are like, it's in the vine because of social distancing. That's okay. It's in the vine. The answer that you need is in the vine. Your deliverance is in the vine. Your healing is in the vine. Your strength is in the vine. Your provision is in the vine. Your anointing, it's in the vine. Your ministry is in the vine. Your fruit, watch it, it's in the vine. Your pruning, your growth, your... It's in the vine. It is not in the world. It is not in another group that makes you feel good. And I say that with lots of love. Please hear me on that. My favorite messages that my pastor preaches are ones that cut me to the heart. Because I want to change. I want to grow. I want to become the best me. I want to become the most fruitful me. I've preached this in the youth before, that complacency breeds unproductive and ineffective Christians. I don't want that on my name. And it doesn't matter what I do, whether I'm dancing in the front of the church, whether I'm worshiping, whether I'm building cabinets, whether I'm laying flooring, or whether I'm preaching the gospel to the nations, makes no difference to me. I want to do it as effective and as productive as I possibly can, because I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as long as you abide in the vine, that's where the answer is. Many of us have been going through this season because of this shift, and we've been kind of in this place where we want God, but we can't seem to get motivated enough to get to God. But I can tell you, your answer is getting in the vine. Because as you get in the vine, your desires begin to change and you begin to take on his likeness and his image. And it goes from, well, I want to pray, but I just, you know, YouTube's a little more important to me right now. And it changes from that to, man, I really want to get up and pray. You know, maybe tonight, instead of binge watching 14 episodes on Netflix, some ridiculous show, Riverdale or whatever. I'm just checking to see which one of my youth laughed. I'm just kidding. We spend all this time doing other stuff and having other idols in our life, but when we get his heart and his desire inside of our life, all of a sudden our desires begin to shift and we begin to desire him more and more and more and more. And can I just speak a little bit of encouragement to somebody who's on the fence and is like, you know, I want to want God, but I'm kind of afraid to actually go full in because I know if I go full in, I'm going to change. Can I tell you tonight, it's the best thing ever. I have never been happier. I have never been more fulfilled. I have never been more on fire for God. And the more I go for God, the more I want him. He is my biggest addiction. He's the thing I love more than anything else in this world. And the closer I get to God, the less concerned I am about the things of this world. And I no longer worry so much about what people think about me and if people are offended by me and if people look at me a certain way. I'm no longer worried about whether you like the way I dress or you don't. I'm no longer worried about how much money I make or how much money I don't make. It doesn't matter anymore. All I want is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your desire begins to shift. Your desire begins to change. But your answer is in the vine. And it's so sweet. Don't be afraid of going to God with everything. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Is it the easiest decision? No! Pruning hurts. The cut hurts. And you gotta have thick skin in ministry. Because people hurt people. But God is so good. The last portion of this is what I want to leave you guys with. And it's in John 15, 9 through 10. And it says, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love, and if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Another word for the word abide is the word stay. I beseech thee, brethren, if you're going through that moment in your life right now where things are a little tough and you're going through a shift, or maybe you feel like quitting, or maybe you're super lonely, or maybe you want God, but you just can't seem to get yourself motivated, stay in love with God. Stay in love with His presence. Stay in love with the King of Kings. Stay in love with worship. Stay in love with prayer. Get to that place. It takes two to tango. Stop waiting for God to grab you by the collar and snatch you up. And I know He'll do it. Go read the book of Jonah. You can only run for so long. But the point that I'm trying to get at is you don't have to get to that point to where He snatches you up. I want to see Christians switch from surviving to thriving, to where we go to God wanting to pull on His garments to get Him closer to us, because we desire to be with Him. But stay in love with Him. Stay in love with God. And it's hard sometimes, especially when you're going through a shift. It's real easy to preach this word when you're on fire for God, but when you're not, when you're in the valley, that's when it's tough to take this word and apply it. Can I tell you guys, just as a side note, notice that there's never any fruit produced on the mountaintop. It's only produced in the valley. We could go deep into that, but it's only in the valley that the trees that produce fruit, that's where they're located. They're not located at the mountaintop. Are you with me? We all love the mountaintop, but embrace the valley. And realize your season of fruit bearing is here. But go for God. Abide in His presence. Abide in His love. Can we pray this morning and then we'll close out? It's a short word. Father, I thank You. I thank You for everything that You have done, even in my own life, Lord. I thank You for every person that is here this morning. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that there would be a revelation that would be birthed out of this word, Father. I pray in Jesus' name that nobody would leave this place discouraged. Nobody would leave this place feeling beat up. But Father, every person that came here today, they would leave knowing and understanding that the answer is in You and is in You alone. Father, I pray that we would not be a people that would go by our feelings, but we would go by our faith. I pray, Father, that we would be a people that would stay in love with You. And Father, that's my biggest prayer. Take my heart, for my heart is wicked above all else. And Father, replace it with Yours. Father, I want Your heart. I want Your eyes. I want Your ears. I want Your thoughts. Father, I want You in me and around me. I want You to be completely immersed in me and I in You. Father, I want to be in such communion with You that people don't see me, but they see You through me. And Father, that's my prayer for every person under the sound of my voice this morning, that this would be a house marked by Your power and by Your love, and let it begin to flow out of Your people in this place this morning in Jesus' mighty and precious name, because the answer is in the vine. I thank You, Lord. Bless Your people today as they go home. Stay with them, protect them, strengthen them, and encourage them. Let the peace that surpasses all understanding be their portion. I give You the praise, I give You the honor, and I give You the glory. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, and all of God's people said, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.